Hi, my name is Lulu Sullivan. I'm 16 years old and I lost my father 3 years ago. After his passing, I struggled a lot, especially when trying to connect with people about my grief.
I created Teen Grief because I've always wanted a resource that dealt with the specific pain I feel as a teenager. That desire for support and the realization that others may feel the exact same way is what inspired me to create this podcast. I hope that my questions for the experts and guests answer some of yours. This is Teen Grief.
Today I'm speaking with Jan Warner, who runs a Facebook page called Grief Speaks Out with 2.4 million likes, and also wrote a book, Grief Day by Day, Simple Practices and Daily Guidance for Living with Loss, that people often think of as a true companion. She never expected to be the person grieving people turn to, but became that person after reaching out after her husband's death. She's not about getting over grief, but rather learning how to live with it. Ms. Warner, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
You're welcome, and it's okay to call me Jan.
Great, okay. So my first question is, can you describe the process of reaching out to the internet after your husband's death, and how impactful was the support of strangers?
It was actually very strange because this is audio, so you can't see me. I'm 69 years old. So I do use the internet the way I use the internet. It's not like I have no idea how to do TikTok or Snapchat. My husband was a recovering alcoholic and he sponsored a lot of people. And when he died, the first 6 months, it was like, I didn't know what was going on. I was crazy. It was like my world was blown to bits. And then after about 6 months, I went, what can I do? How can I feel like I have some kind of meaning in my life? And I thought, I'll write a blog. And if I reach one person, that's enough. Mm-hmm. So I figured out how to write a blog. And after a while, my blog was getting something like 2,000 to 4,000 hits a month, which I was told was very good. And somebody said, start a Facebook page. And I said, what? She said, start a Facebook page. So I thought, Grief Speaks Out. And I just started it. And she said, I liked it. And I said, oh, fill in your favorite curse word. Now I have to put something on it. And this was about 7 or 8 years ago. And I just started this bumbling combination of writing what I was feeling and using pictures and using quotes of other people. And I started, as everybody does, if any of you tried to start even a Twitter feed, you try and get followers. So I got my first 100 and I thought if I got 1,000, it would be respectable. I never expected to have 2.4 million people from all over the world. Mm-hmm. So that what I say somehow, what people have tell me the most is that I articulate what they're feeling, but they don't know how to say. And also that they feel normal. They don't feel like they're alone or they're crazy. Yeah. And this is cultures from South Africa, Kenya, Vietnam, the United States, obviously. It just doesn't seem to matter. So what I have in common with strangers is I might be doing something, and if you want to ask me, you can, that I think is very strange. And then I find out a lot of people who are grieving do it. So it makes me part of a larger community, even though I'm alone, because a lot of people's friends and family don't want to talk about grief.
Exactly, yeah. That's part of why I started this endeavor, because I have no idea how to talk about my grief with most of the people around me. And I assume that other teenagers would feel very similar. So I hope that by listening to this podcast, just like with your blog, they can feel like somebody out there understands.
Do you feel that if somebody hasn't gone through it themselves, it's kind of hard for them to really and truly understand what's going on?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So when teenagers reach out to you, what trends do you see in their grief and what advice do you generally give them?
The teenagers that I've had reach out to me, the youngest person I had reach out was 10. Mm-hmm. Her grandmother and her cat had died and she thought she would never love anybody again. And she was very sweet. But I talked to her like I would talk to a grown-up.
Yeah.
I had another 18-year-old whose dad had died. and was just absolutely heartbroken. So what I say to teenagers is, it hurts. You know, it shouldn't happen to you, whether it's your mom or your dad or a friend or a pet. It hurts. And it's okay that it hurts. And it's okay that you're struggling. And how do you balance life? How do you say, maybe I'm going to be happy again? Or if the person says, I feel really happy and I feel guilty, that's okay too. So my sounding board is more to let people know that whatever they're feeling is normal, because everybody has their own path. Sometimes it's harder for a teenager because you have to show up and do things, and you don't have the freedom sometimes that a grown-up has to say, well, I'm going to take 6 months off. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to go on a vacation. You know, if you say to your parents, I'd like to go to Hawaii for the week because it'll make me feel better, that might not happen. So, but in terms of emotions, teenagers have the same emotions anybody else does. And something that happened to me when I was a teenager was I wanted to remember how I felt so that I never discounted what a young person said to me. I never said it'll get better when you get older, or you just feel that way because you're young. I wanted to remember how real and intense my feelings were at every age.
Definitely. Does helping other people with their grief and knowing that you provide a safe space for people to talk about it, does that help you live with and cope with your own grief?
It gives my life meaning. Mm-hmm. There's a French phrase, raison d'être, you're my reason for being. And my husband was kind of a thug from Brooklyn, so he loved talking French. So if your reason for being no longer exists, what's your reason for being? So the fact that I help people, it astonishes me, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I never take it for granted. And it makes me feel like I'm here for a reason. For example, during COVID-19, I'm over 65, so I'm not supposed to go out. I do, but I'm not supposed to. So I'm very isolated, and all my support systems that I have disappeared. There's no theater, there's no traveling. None of the things I like to do exist anymore. But somebody will say, thank you. What you said to me got me through the day. And I go, that's why I'm here. That's why my granddaughter as well, but that's my reason for being. It's why I'm just going to say it. If I considered taking my own life, I reject that because I have a reason for being that's important in the world, but I created that. And I'm amazed, like you, there's so many people like you that take what is a tragedy and they turn it into something where they can help other people. And I think that's the most astonishing thing ever.
Thank you. Thank you for finding that reason.
My next question has to do with your book. What are some of the examples of the simple practices and daily guidance that you think are the most helpful for teenagers?
Again, I'm going to say for teenagers, it's the same for grownups. A lot of us, when we're really sad, tend to isolate. It feels comfortable to... That's what's so odd about COVID-19 is I've spent the past 10 years since my husband died not allowing myself to isolate. So yeah. To make myself isolate is weird. So one of the things is showing up. Mm-hmm. It might be, I made a rule that I could only stay in the house one day in a row. I might not think I'm going to have a good time. And in the beginning, I didn't. But eventually, life started to seep back into me. Mm-hmm. A second thing is what we've already been talking about is helping somebody. If you can't leave the house, if you feel like you can't get out of bed, you can go on Facebook or Twitter and find somebody that's suffering, and you can post something to support them. Because if you're thinking about their problem, you're not thinking about your problem. Another thing is that person, hopefully it's just one person, but it could be multiple people. What is it about them that you want people to know, to keep telling their story, to keep honoring them, to ask people sometimes, is it okay if I talk about whoever it is, because maybe some people aren't willing to, and it can be scary because you don't want to be rejected or told to get over it. But my husband's name was Artie Warner, and we've become this weird international love story, but I want him to be proud of me. So what is it like if let's say my mom died and my mom and I like to, I don't know, go to the movies together. I might want to do something having to do with movies, or if she really had a cause she supported, might want to continue what she did. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Definitely, like finding those connections between you and whoever you lost and continuing to cultivate them.
Right, because it seems impossible. I think at the beginning it offers, you know, one of the reasons I got involved in this was I was told I was supposed to get over it in 6 months to a year. And that seemed utterly stupid to me. Yeah. Because if you really love somebody and they love you, you're always going to miss them. You're always going to be sad. And the question isn't, how do I forget about them? How do I get over it? It's how do I learn to live with it and make it something that inspires me? Oh, I know, and I forget this, and it's the most important thing. It took me about 4 years. It was, wait a minute, my husband's life should matter more than his death. All I ever think about is I have a dead husband. So to think about the person as being alive and everything that was special about them, it takes time and practice, but that's what you want to have importance, is their life. Even if it's a stillborn baby that only had a few minutes of life or didn't even have exterior life, that life has value. And how do I keep giving that life value? But it takes time and patience with yourself, because I'm also a big believer in wallowing in self-pity when I need to or want to.
Yeah.
It's okay to collapse. Don't be hard on yourself when you collapse, or, you know, if you're a teenager and you're going to high school and you have a simple test that you always got an A in, and all of a sudden you can't do it.
Yeah.
You want to try and change it, but don't go, I'm a terrible person. You say, I'm grieving. Grieving people have foggy brains.
Yeah. So. Thank you for all of that. The part about trying to think of them as being alive and when they were alive versus just their death is really important, I think. And it's something that I'm definitely still working towards, but that's really, really important. Thank you for saying that.
And it's hard because it's, they're not here. And I believe that the people that we love are here and that they do care about us. And I don't care if it's true or not, because it helps me to survive. But they're still not here in their earthly body, and that hurts.
Mm-hmm. Besides that, do you have anything that you think is the most important thing for teenagers who are coping with a loss that they should know and that they should hear?
I think with teenagers, I say you can't see around corners. Is that when you're young, everything, I feel so old. I mean, you know, it's like when you're 13 or 16 or 18, being 69 seems insane. And then all of a sudden you're 69. Everything is very intense and very painful and very real. But something like my granddaughter was born, and she's amazing. She's 8 years old. I didn't know that was going to happen. So to realize that you don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 years or 5 years or 10 years, mm-hmm. and that you don't have to have a goal necessarily and say, because they say, you know, everybody 5 years ago, they said, where are you going to be in 5 years? In my house, not being able to see people wasn't my answer. Mm-hmm. But you feel like this, if grief is like it is for a lot of people, a dark black hole that seems like it has no opening, accept that, but then allow the possibility that something might happen and that it might have already happened. Because sometimes you feel guilty if you're having a good time. Maybe you've already, like, something's made you laugh or something's made you feel lighter and you haven't noticed it yet. So when you're a teenager, there's so much ahead of you and it can be really good, and that can be invisible to you.
Thank you. That was really, really, that felt really great to hear, because I've definitely struggled with
feeling happy on days when I feel like I shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Warner or Jan, thank you so much for your time and all of your insight. This is Lulu Sullivan, and thank you for listening to Teen Grief.